So, penance. It's a good picture. Picture's worth more than 1,000 words, they say, right? We hear that saying? Look at it. What do you have there? Have a confirmation boy that's confessing, right? You got good eyes. Right? Then you've got a priest sitting down. He's got his stole on. Who stole my stole? Something to say that. And then who's behind the priest? So who forgives is really, it's Christ. The priest is the instrument by which the grace of God is communicated. But it's really Christ that forgives. Got to believe that, no? Because sometimes the human instrument can be very imperfect. But you got to believe, no? Okay, so you got your name, your date, and your thinking caps on. Right, Aisha? Ready? Okay. Are you? What? Do you have a question? Oh, okay. You had a very quizzical look on your face. Okay, many people associate the Catholic Church with guilt. The Church, they feel, makes unreasonable demands on how people should act. When the person fails to live up to these demands, they say the Church makes them admit to a priest how they have sinned, causing humiliation and shame. But this is not the case. Every person has a sense of Matthew? Okay, good. Right and wrong, probably the more exact. You're going to say that? Right and wrong. In other words, we all have a conscience, right? You know what a conscience is? You're a theologian in disguise. What would your succinct Thomistic definition be? Your moral compass? Yeah. Good. Go ahead. Pretty good, no? We all have a conscience, right? Annabelle, do we have to form our conscience? Do we have to form our conscience? Say yes. You're right. Yeah, we have to form our conscience. Let me tell you this. This story is embarrassing, but I think it highlights the point. When I was about 8 years old, I was living in New York, and I was playing baseball with my older brother, who now is the same age as I am. We're Irish twins, okay? So until the end of the month, we're the same age, no? Same privileges, I tell them whenever we talk about this, no? And we were playing catch, and the ball went awry, and it hit a car, parked car. And I told my brother, hey, get the ball. Told me, hi, Pop. No? He said, wait, got to check it out. See if we did damage to the car. I said, yeah, who cares? Ignorance is bliss, huh? He used to say, who cares? He said, no, we got to check it out. So he went to the car, and with these microscopic surgeon eyes, that's what they are today. He's a surgeon, no? He was studying the car. And underneath one of the windows, he could see that there was a little bump. I said, who cares? A lot of cars have bumps. He said, no. We have to find the owner of the car. We have to admit our guilt. And we have to offer a due reparation for the damage we've done. I said, you're crazy. So we went around the block, and he rang all the doorbells to see who the owner was. But to my relief, the car did not belong to any of those houses. But to my great sadness, he ran into our house there and he got a notebook and a pen. He wrote down his name, Michael Blumen. He wrote my name too. He wrote down 1 Saxon Lane, West Nyack, New York, ELA 2342. That's what was our phone number. And he wrote down exactly where the damage was done and our desire to do reparation. My brother was 9 years old. What do you think about that? I've never heard anything like that before. What a conscience, no? Where do you get that? Annabelle? No, my parents. God, yes, but my parents really worked hard to form number 1 and 2 of the 9. To really, you form number 1 and 2, well, you got it made in the shade with the other kids, no? And once we went down to the candy store, walked about a mile, and they gave him a penny too much. He walked a mile all the way back to return the penny. That's when the penny was worth 50 times more. I'm talking about, 50 years ago. A penny today, big deal, right? For a penny, it was worth more than. And then we started to work when we were about 8 years old. Even though I come from an affluent family, but my dad believed in work builds character, no? You know what type of work we do? You guys have never even seen it before, shoveling snow. You ever hear snow? You know what snow is? It's the white thing that comes out of the sky? You ever seen it? Okay. Yeah. And it's hard work, but it pays off, right? So we would go to knock on doors, and we would have an economic dialogue to see. He would always kind of jack it up high, and then, jack it up high, and the guy would say, no, that's too much. And he said, okay, and they'd kind of bargain from 10 to 3, end up with $5. That's what he was aiming at anyway with his economic line, no? Then we'd finish it, but then there was some snow underneath the car, and they said, come on, let's go, there's other houses. No, got to get the snow underneath the car. Then we'd be raking leaves, and not these little houses like here in Southern California. You could probably, rake them in a matter of 5 minutes, but 3/4 of an acre. And we would do it, and then I'd say, Mike, let's go. No, underneath that bush there's still a pile of leaves. Come on, let's go. Take the money and run. And here's the future confessor, the formator of conscience, Father Broome, with his lax conscience, and see what a delicate conscience, no? It could never even dawn on you. You got a 9-year-old brother and sister doing like that. You probably can't even write by now. But that keen, well-formed conscience. And that came from mom and dad. No? So parents are the first formators of conscience. Can you live with a guilty conscience? I think it's hell on earth. I think a lot of people end up in manicomiums. You know what a manicomium is for those locals? Because they can't live with a guilty conscience. You're a lover of world literature. You read some of Shakespeare already, right, Aisha? A little bit? No? You ever hear of Shakespeare? Never heard of Shakespeare, no? He's the guy that shakes the spear, huh? Now, he wrote 3 literary genres. Tragedies, comedies, and histories. The most famous would be the tragedies. Hamlet, Othello, Romeo and Juliet, King Lear, no? One of the best scenes I like to apply to this topic, Emily, is in Macbeth. Lady Macbeth was responsible for murder. You know what she'd be doing? Always be going and washing her hands. Why? It was an unconscious desire to purify her of her guilt. She really wanted to go to confession. but she wasn't a Catholic, so she couldn't go to confession. So what a huge advantage it is to be able to go to confession, right? And that's why in Macbeth, there's a one-liner there, like, and it's this: conscience doth make cowards of all of us. In the quiet of the night, you got a dirty, guilty conscience, you can't live with your conscience. Right? So there are many types of conscience. There is a guilty conscience. There is a suppressed conscience. There is a cauterized conscience, and then seared or burned. There is a doubtful conscience. There is a perplexed conscience. There is a deformed conscience. There is a dead conscience. I heard this lady that, you know, she did 28 abortions. Can you imagine that, Annabelle? What? Do you think the first time her conscience bothered her? Probably. How about after the 10th time? So she had, little by little, eroded, and she had killed her conscience. So we can kill her conscience. I'm going to tell you a lot of people that really suppress their conscience. It is free to people that start to live together. Do you know that's really common today? Yeah. A lot of people start to live together. What do they call it? In New York, they say shacking out. Okay. Or it might be this: trial marriage. You ever hear that terminology, trial marriage? No? You heard of that, Annabelle? What does it mean? Yeah. Might they see whether or not we are compatible, whether or not we've got chemistry. So they say, we've got chemistry. So live together for 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, 6 years, to see whether or not it really works out. In the interim, or the meantime, they're living in mortal sin. They die, where do they go? Disneyland? No. Where are they? Knott's Berry Farm? No. Magic Mountain? Unmagic Mountain. Where do they go? They go to hell, right? Because they're living in sin, right? But that's becoming more and more common. People are starting to live together. And I'm the head of, you know, catechetical programs, and I talk with some of the women that are living with their, what do you call it, their lover, call them whatever you want. And they say, you got to get married. Estamos esperando, padrecito. How long you been together? 15 years. Well, what are you waiting for, the end of the world? You know, St. Gabriel, they call it... No, you got to get married now. If you die, then you're going to lose your soul. Don't wait. No tenemos dinero. You don't have money. Tenemos la fiesta. You don't have to have money to get married. So they put the social above the sacramental. They put the party above the sacrament. In the meantime, they can't go to confession, they can't receive communion, they give bad example to their kids, they're not at peace, they're not experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit, and they're always placing their lives, spiritual lives, in danger, because if they die in that state, they lose their soul. So it's important for us to form our conscience. And Emily, one of the best ways is to go to confession frequently. Amen? So you go to confession frequently. That's a good way to form your conscience. You should all go at least once a month. At least once a month. Not once a year, once a month, okay? And you know what happens? Cardinal Newman gave this analogy in the formation of conscience. I think you're going to like this one. Imagine you enter into a room at midday. But the door is closed, the shades are closed. You walk in the room and you trip over a chair. And then what you do is you open up the shades a little bit. You're able to see a little bit enough to make out there's a chair, there's a table, there's a bed. Barely able to see it. Open up the shutters a little bit more and you're able to see shadows. A little bit more you're able to see then. You're able to see the chair, the colors on the chair. You can maybe see the ink spot on the table. See the colors and the linings of the bedspread. Then you open up the window and the shades completely and the sun starts to pour in and you see the sun is streaming in and you can even see the dust particles that are floating in the air. You ever see that? Cool, huh? Yeah. So I give you about five different examples of a conscience. One conscience can mean total darkness. Other can be 75% of darkness. Other can be 50% of darkness. Another can be totally open to God's light. And that's called the delicate conscience, the conscience of the saints. A good conscience, but the delicate conscience would be that of the saints. What my brother had. He had a very delicate conscience as a 9-year-old. So let's form our conscience. What do you think, Allison? Should we work on that? I'm glad you agree, because that's what we're going to try to do now, okay? So the guilty feelings we get come not from some person or group outside ourselves scolding us, calling us sinners. Rather, the guilty feelings come from inside ourselves because we know in our hearts that we have done wrong, that we have offended the Lord, for our consciences tell us so. By offering us the sacrament of penance, God works through His church to offer us healing and a way to clear our consciences. Through the sacrament, we are given an opportunity to turn back to God. Lauren, when you were in college, did you ever use one of those Roget thesauruses?
A thesaurus?
Yeah. Do you know what that is? Any of you, you know, ever using a thesaurus? What is that, Annabelle?
It's a book.
It's a book. Yeah, but what?
Cinnamons?
Cinnamons? For your apple? Oh yeah. I'm playing around. Yeah, you got the right word. Synonyms. Not antonyms, right? But synonyms, right? What would be a synonym? Yes.
Something that's
great. Can you give me an example?
Good. Great.
Okay, pretty good. Lauren, you have an example? You're going to say that was on the tip of your tongue? Good. 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 Great. So right now, I'm going to give you five synonyms, not synonyms, but synonyms for confession, the sacrament confession. You seem to be a walking dictionary of knowledge. You could probably help us out. Huh? No? Okay. What? Another name for penance, Lauren, would be? Confession. Confession. How about another one? Yes. Reconciliation. What does that mean, reconciliation? Matthew, if I hurt you, and I say, sorry, Matt, let's be friends, and you shake my hand, we have reconciled, okay? So we become friends after a fight. Another word for the sacrament confession? Forgiveness, good. Let me use a recording. Okay, the sacrament of God's mercy, right? So those are all synonyms, not synonyms, Annabelle. They're all synonyms for the sacrament. And each one is a little bit different, but they all refer to the same sacrament. That was one of my favorite books when I went to college. Those Roget's thesaurus, if you want to write good written works, make sure you got your thesaurus at hand. Now you can use in Wikipedia, right? No? Okay, so Yes, before going to confession, we feel guilty. This is because we are guilty. Obvious, huh? Ask any good Catholic whom you trust, though, and they will tell you this. When we leave the confessional, if we have been completely honest with the priest, we have a feeling that it is much more powerful, good, powerful than the feeling of guilt. It is a sense of incredible, a sigh of
relief.
Right, on the tip of your tongue. Sigh of it's a pretty good one. Hey, that's a good one. Someone said it here. Relief, okay? Relief. And a feeling of truly being loved. Do you know that God is slow to anger, but He's rich in mercy? You believe it? We are quick to anger and slow in mercy, huh? I think that's the way. When we're hurt, someone hurts you, ah, yeah, I'll forgive you right away. Don't worry about it. No, someone hurts you, we kind of simmer. Right? We want that person to suffer. We don't want to see him squirm like a worm in hot ashes. You ever hear that expression? We want them to see him suffer a little bit, then I'll forgive him. No, everything's okay. No, that's the way we are because of original sin. No? But what's the first word that Jesus said on the cross? Remember? Father, forgive. Yes? Right. That's the first thing he said, showing us the importance of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Even after he was just brutally, really lacerated, crowning of thorns, the scourging of the pillar, he forgives. Pretty hard, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We know that all is right. We have returned to the Lord. Okay, penance. On the evening of that day, first day of the week, the door is being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. This is Easter Sunday night. And this is the institution of the Eucharist, freedom. Okay? Institution of the Eucharist. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "It's peace be with you." Tony, how's your Aramaic? Pretty rusty? Therese, how's your Aramaic? You know that word. You know it. Go ahead, say it. Shalom. You've heard of shalom, haven't you? Ever heard the word shalom? Shalom means, it means peace be with you. Did you know that? You're going to say that? So there you have. So if we go to the original Aramaic, it would be shalom, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Annabelle, why were they locked up in that room that night? They're afraid of what? Yeah. What they were afraid of possibly happening to them? Okay, how would they be killed? Like Jesus. Would you be afraid? I think I'd be paralyzed with fear. They're thinking, they did that to Jesus, they're going to do the same thing to us, they're going to nail us to the cross, let's lock those doors and hope that they never find us. Probably what they thought, right? I think sometimes we're pretty hard on the apostle, we probably would have done the same thing, no? We probably would have run away from the cross, breaking a... Instead of running the 100 in 10.3, we're probably running at 8.9, you know, running away from the cross, huh? Breaking a world record because of fear. Okay, so you got that, Allison? You got it? Penance is a sacrament of healing in which Jesus Christ himself, through the action of a priest, forgives the sins committed after baptism. What great love Jesus has for us. No matter how often we sin, Well, how seriously we sin. He loves us so much that He will forgive our sins when we seek Him out in the sacrament of reconciliation. And once Peter was in a good mood, he said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? 7 times. He was really in a good mood that day. So, what did Jesus say? Any of you know? Lord had to forgive 7 times. And the Lord said, no, 3's enough. Is that what he said? Jacob, you know? What did he say? 70. What? 70 times 7. So you're a math whiz, that'd be 490, right? You're thinking about that with your mathematical mind, right? Is that what Jesus was saying? Do you know what hyperbole means? Lauren? What? Yeah, okay, definitely you accentuate or exaggerate a point to hammer home the message. So you kind of go way overboard to really drive home the message. Yeah. Or I'm dying of hunger. Okay? You're really not dying. You got a couple extra pounds anyway. You could probably go without a meal or two and you wouldn't die. See, I'm dying of hunger, no? Okay? Or I could eat a horse, no? Or maybe a camel, huh? All right. So we're going to go through the steps on how to make a good confession. Do you know, Frieda, when Pope Francis was asked, who are you, 5 years ago, what he said? Okay, you're honest. Emma, do you know? None of you know? It's a great response. The reporter was saying, who are you? You know what he said? He said, I'm a sinner. This is the Pope. You believe him? No, the Pope doesn't sin, does he? No. Is he a sinner? And the Pope has to go to confession to another priest. I listened to Relevant Radio in the morning. I listened to a guy named Patrick Madrid. No, great guy. No. You know, Annabelle, when he answers a call, they'll often, "How are you?" You know what his response is? Pretty good for a sinner. That's a great response, no? Pretty good for a sinner, no? So we're all sinners. Except 2 people. Which would be? Jesus and Mary. Jesus, no. Didn't sin because he's God. Mary because of the what? Her privilege, the Immaculate? Immaculate Conception. There you go. Got a memory blank there for a second. I had to kind of fill it in, huh? All right, so simply stated, the 6 points to make a good confession are, first, Lauren, an examination of conscience. And put in parentheses the Ten Commandments. Examination of conscience of the Ten Commandments. Now this is the AP confirmation class. Can all of you give me the Ten Commandments? My other 2 classes, they all failed. They're not the AP class. Here we got the APs. I think you can. Hey, you know the Wildcats? Oh, it's a Villanova. I'm playing West Virginia tonight. Did you know that? That's my alma mater. You pray that the Villanova wins tonight, right, Therese? You say so. Can you? Commandments? No? Go for it.
The first one is, I am your God, you shouldn't have other gods before.
Well, 1 out of 10. This is the AP class. And
the second is, not to say the Lord's name in vain.
Okay.
Third, hold the Lord's name holy. Fourth, honor your father and your mother. Fifth, you should not kill. Sixth, you should not tell the truth. Seventh, you should not steal. And eighth, you should not lie.
Eighth is what?
Not
false witness, okay. Hey, pretty good. So you got 50% of you got it. The others are kind of struggling through it, or you're faking that you know it, right? Yes. I preached on that in the little kids today. Can you kill with your tongue, Emma? You can't? How can you kill with your tongue? Yeah. Yeah. Pope actually says that. No, actually Thomas Aquinas says you're really killing by just giving into gossip. Huh?
By words.
What type of words? Good. Another one? Good. Libel and slander. Yeah. Okay, discrimination or prejudice, right? Yeah. Good. Listen to this story. I heard this on Catholic radio. I have my own radio program for many years. The founder would be Padre Juan Rivas. I think your parents know them. You've heard of him? Padre Juan Rivas, no? About 20 years ago, I was driving my car, and you didn't have Radio Guadalupe. He was just on Radio Cali, an hour a week. And then eventually he formed his own radio program, then radio and TV, and now it's really extending. He told the story of this guy who was married, and he couldn't seem to have kids. And after work, he'd go down to the pool hall and shoot pool, billiards. And one day he comes home, and his wife says, hey, thanks be to God, we're going to finally have a baby after 15 years. And the guy runs down to the pool hall, and he's so happy, tells his pool buddies, finally, me and my wife are going to have a baby. One guy says, you don't even know where it came from. So the guy goes home, he pulls out a gun, he shoots and kills his wife, and he shoots and kills himself. Man. True story. Heard that? I mean, I preached that over the past 10 years because that's... So the guy just... uttering this sarcastic remark without thinking, ends up by killing three people. So you gotta be careful, right? You gotta be careful before you open up your mouth, you know. Think. Think before you speak. That story you're never gonna forget. I heard it on radio and almost I was on the highway, I almost wanted to pull over and just kind of think about it. Wow. But St. James chapter 3 says we should be slow to speak and quick to listen. Thomas Aquinas says we have two ears but only one mouth, I think, right? Do you have two ears and one mouth?
Yeah.
I thought so. So you can listen twice as much as you speak, right? In the same chapter of St. James chapter 3, it says that man can train all types of animals, but he can't train the tongue. Back in the early 60s, I was living in New York, and I went downtown and with my dad. I was about 8 years old, and we were at Barnum Bailey's Three-Ring Circus. Oh, I loved it. And this is about 50 years ago, but I remember the trapeze guys. Do you know what humor is? The different types of humor. One dimension of humor you learn it when you're in 11th grade in English is incongruity. You know what that is? Incongruity, Lauren? An example of incongruity was you had a Volkswagen and you had 12 clowns get out of a Volkswagen. I mean, a Volkswagen is small. Can you imagine 12 clowns getting out of a... I remember seeing that little kid. Ah, ha, 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 look at that. But I remember there were bears driving a motorcycle in a rink. And they drove better than California drivers. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They're driving around these big, you know, 700-pound bears driving motorcycles around a rink, you know? And so that means they were trained to drive a motorcycle better than the people driving California. Maybe that's not saying that much, no, but... And we can train all different types of animals, but we can't train the tongue. And he says the tongue is like a little spark that can start a huge fire. Now, these huge forest fires, sometimes they start just by a little spark, or a match butt, or a cigarette. Or like a, you know, a broken Coca-Cola bottle, and then you get the leaf behind it, and then the sun goes through it, and it's turned like into magnifying glass, and zoom, you got the fire. So we got to be, you have to learn how to think before you speak. Otherwise, what's going to happen, here's a New York expression, otherwise, open up mouth, insert foot, okay? You don't want to be putting your foot in your mouth, do you, no? Okay, next. Forgive sins, thereby restoring sanctifying grace when it is lost by mortal sin. Remits eternal punishment caused by what's a really bad sin? Yeah, mortal sin. What would be the three conditions of a mortal sin? Yes. Okay, so you know you're doing it? What's the other two? Okay. First, it would be full knowledge. Frida, you know that, don't you? Three conditions of mortal sin. Do you know? Okay, grave matter, full knowledge, full will. So I was surprised they didn't teach you that. I learned that when I was 7 years old, no? Grave matter, you know, is something serious. Full knowledge, you know it. Full consent to the will, you do it anyway. Give me an example.
So you know it's bad.
It's
a bad thing to not just steal because you're stealing from some other people.
Okay.
And
you do it anyway.
Yeah.
Good example. Another one? One of the most common mortal sins among Catholics, sad to say. I give you a hint. It happens on Sunday. Shouldn't happen on Sunday, but it does happen on Sunday. What? Eating meat on Friday, oh, that would be in Lent. You shouldn't be doing that. You're going to say the same thing? So, okay, explain the three conditions then. Okay, remember, grave matter, full knowledge, full will. Grave matter means it's serious. What? Is it serious? Do you know what that means, full consent?
No.
Okay. Sometimes I'm using theological words that haven't registered yet. Okay. Okay, grave matter means it's something serious. Full knowledge, you know what that means. You know it. Full consent to the will means that it's not done by accident, you do it. Okay, so you're not being compelled willingly. Okay, yeah. So, if those, you have those three conditions, you commit a mortal sin. So, that of missing Mass on Sunday, you know Mass is important, very important, but you don't go anyway. So that would be a mortal sin. So if you die in that state, you would go to hell. Now, here's a problem. Most of you are about 15? 15. Can you go to Mass by yourself?
Yes. If you're in walking
range. When I was your age, I could go by myself. My parents, you know, you're 15. You're not a baby. You can go to Mass by yourself. And I would sometimes walk a couple miles. You go to daily Mass in the summer because I love Mass. Walking 2 miles, no? Something wrong because I was practicing for cross country. I was a cross country runner. No? But I mean, where I lived, it was a little more safe than Hawaiian Gardens. Also, it was kind of like an upper scale, middle class New Jersey environment where we didn't have cholos there. No, maybe some pit bulls. No, but I don't know. I don't know which is worse. But so missing Mass on purpose, that's a mortal sin. Now, if your parents don't go, I don't think I have a problem in this class, but very often I teach classes where the parents don't go. What about the confirmation kids?
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, what I think you should do is say, look, Mom and Dad, it's Sunday, we've got to go to Mass. You have to badger them. I mean, you have to go after them, and you have to come to bug them and say, look, we got to go to Mass on Sunday. Which for me is very sad, because those parents, I call it the Millstone Award. Do you know what the Millstone Award is? I didn't think so, so I'll tell you. Jesus says that woe to those who sow scandals. Scandal means to damage the innocent. Better for them to have a millstone around their neck than be cast in the depths of the sea. That's strong language, isn't it? You know what a millstone is? Never. You're lacking vocabulary this afternoon. What's a millstone, Allison?
Rock.
You gonna say? Is it a rock or a pebble?
It's a rock.
Big rock or small rock?
Yeah.
It's a boulder. Where my parents live in New Hampshire, there's a millstone restaurant. And they have outside, it looks like a tractor wheel. But it's really cement. In the very middle, you got a hole big enough to put your head. It probably weighs 500 pounds. So imagine you go out to the Queen Mary off Long Beach, you put that millstone around your neck, and the captain kicks you in the lower region, and then you fall in to the into the depths of the Pacific Ocean once you're out maybe 10 miles. Are you going to be able to swim that well? You're going to get seaweed in your nostrils, okay? And sand in your mouth. And there's not going to be a sandwich, but it's okay. You're going to get sand in your mouth. You're going to be dead. Now, literary license, I'm embellishing a little bit what Jesus said so that you won't be able to forget it, okay? Yeah, I mean, now parents, I mean, missing Mass, having children and teenagers, man, it's terrible. Never happened in my life. We missed Mass once. There was a snowstorm. We couldn't get out of the house. But I think that's justifiable, I think, right? But missing Mass on Sunday was unthinkable. And I think of my mom and dad, they'd probably get down on their knees, apologize to us for having given such bad example. But that's pretty common today. And you know the reason why, Frieda? Because people have lost faith. They've lost faith in the real presence. If I were to say, if I meet you tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the morning, you shake my hand, I'll give you $5 billion, would you come? Would you? I'm sure you would. You'd probably just go there right after the class and you camp out, huh? Get a couple of Big Macs and you're... No Big Macs, it's Friday, right? Get some French fries and maybe... Okay. Or maybe just fast, right? No. But what would happen if I said, well, I'll celebrate Mass for you at 3 o'clock in the morning? How about 12 noon, right, Father?
I'll be there at 2:50.
Problem is we place more emphasis on the material than on the spiritual. We're absorbed by materialism more than the spiritual realities. Right, Frieda?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you agree with me because it's true. Okay. So, know what a mortal sin is, right? Okay, next would be so we examination, sorrow for sin, and then a resolve to
prevent.
Kind of, but avoid. To avoid sin in the future. Avoid the near occasion of sin. You ever hear that proverb? He who plays with fire will get... You got it. He who plays with fire will get burnt. This is a good one for a Massachusetts boy. He who walks on thin ice will fall in, right? You ever do it? You don't know how to ice skate, huh? If you walk in thin ice, you're gonna cave in, huh? If your weight exceeds the strength of the ice, right? They're saying physics, right? The next is confess of what? Sins, for mortal sins according to their species and number. So say you go on vacation for 2 months, June, or 3 months, June, July, and August, you go to where? Go to Cameroon. Okay? You go to, oh, you go to downtown Compton to spend your vacation in Compton, right? Okay. Go to Saigon, okay? Or you go to maybe Guadalajara. Guadalajara, there's a lot of churches there. And yeah, Guadalajara, you got a lot of churches in Guadalajara. And you're with your grandmother, and she lives right in front of a church. So you don't go to Mass for the whole 3 months. Okay? And you're only a couple of steps away from it. What? So I'm saying, yeah, well, you decide because of laziness, I don't go to Mass on Sunday because you don't want to go. You just become rebellious. Typical rebellious teenager, huh? They exist, right? Believe it or not. Huh? So, you come back and you go to confession. You say, well, I missed Mass on Sunday. Is that a good confession?
No.
Why is that not a good confession? Okay, good, but you're missing the point here. Yes.
The number.
Great. How many? Okay. What would you say then?
I miss Mass on Sunday all throughout the summer.
Okay, but that would even be more specific because summer might start. You know, I think it'd be more specific if you can. Yeah, that'd be good enough. Or any of you math majors, what's 3 times 4?
Well,
you're great. You get A's in math, huh? So you say, I missed Mass 12 times. But yours might even be better because some months actually have 5 Sundays. Could that happen? So 31 days in the month, and the first Sunday is the first day of the month. You might have 5 Sundays, right, Allison? So, but if you say they missed all the Sundays of June, July, August, that'd be enough. So that, and you don't specify the number, then it's an incomplete. An example I give is, a woman goes in to get an operation, breast cancer, which is really common today. Okay, operation 5 hours. When she comes out of the operation, what's the first thing she's going to ask the doctor? Nope. Yeah. How did it go? That's too generic. I mean, how did the doctor say, well, pretty good. See you tomorrow. No. Did I get it all out or not? And the doctor says, you know, I worked with 2 other doctors, the best one in Southern California. We got it all out. Here's the x-ray. No. Well, the doctor said, well, I think you got 50%. See you tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that. So sin is cancer of the soul. Soul cancer or leprosy. Get it all out. So if you purposely hide a sin, a mortal sin, is that a good confession? It's bad. You know, and some sins are kind of embarrassing. You don't want to, oh boy, I don't want the priest to know that. No. That's an embarrassing one. I'll tell them 4, but that 5th one is really embarrassing. I don't want to tell Father Broome that I stole his wallet. You got to tell everything. If you're really kind of vague, oh, I know. Yeah, this priest just came in from Argentina. He doesn't speak English. I'll speak really fast in English. And then, it's bad will, isn't it? So he won't understand you. You got to be honest. And St. Faustina says there are 3 conditions of a good confession. Transparency, humility and obedience. You remember that? Transparency, what does that mean? You got to be clear. And humility. You got to tell the truth. You know, don't put whipped cream over cow manure, huh? And then you got to obey. The priest says, okay, Annabelle, pray three Hail Marys. How about one, Father? Mm-hmm. Obey. What the priest says, obey the priest. Don't soft pedal it. Just obey. Okay, now, making an active confession. Contrition. Do you have it memorized? Not yet? Oh, that's a sign that you don't go often enough. You hung yourself in that one, huh? Yeah, you got to go a little more often, right? So, all of you should have an act of contrition memorized. Now we'll give you the cheat sheet. You can read it, but you should try to memorize it. And I think one of our big problems today, we have a lazy memory. Right, Annabelle? We can memorize much more than we have. Now, ask maybe your grandmother to say the act of contrition from Mexico. It goes on 5 minutes. And she didn't even learn how to read and write. She got this incredible memory of these prayers. No? And then doing the assigned penance. The priest assigns a penance to repair the harm of sin and to point the way to habits that will prevent sin henceforth. Okay, effects of the sacrament would be this, and we'll put it quickly now. Reconciliation with God is the whole purpose of the sacrament of healing, confession of sins. Okay, forgive sins thereby, restoring sanctifying grace when it is lost by mortal sin, remits eternal punishment caused by mortal sin, imparts actual graces to avoid sin in the future, reconciles the penitent person with the church. Remits part of purgatorial punishment. Good. Gives peace of conscience and spiritual consolation. In the encyclical Mystical Body, Pope Pius XII enumerated some benefits of frequent confession of sin. Genuine self-knowledge is increased. Bad habits are, Tony, or you're just yawning, okay, corrected. The conscience is purified. Christian humility grows. The will is, have you done any weightlifting? The will is strengthened. And then lukewarmness and spiritual neglect are resisted. Self-control is increased. Okay, for lack of time, we won't be able to finish this, but next week we're not going to have class because it's Good Friday, nor the following class. Right, Lauren? So they're 2 weeks break, right? You're usually the secretary here, right? Okay, so let's say our prayer. So you're going to be coming to Mass on Good Friday, right? Are you going to come to Mass on Good Friday? No. Are you? No? You? No? Are you? Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. You're going to come to Mass on Good Friday? Okay. You're going to come to Mass on Good Friday too, right? Are you? Yeah. Are you going to come to Mass on, are you going to come to Mass on Good Friday?
Yes.
Are you too? You're not. You're not a Catholic? Okay. I'm saying because there's no Mass on Good Friday, okay? Gotcha. You fell in my trap, okay? There's a beautiful celebration, okay? So the liturgy of Good Friday, but there's no Mass, no? I asked the parents, how many of you come to Mass on Good Friday? No, there's no Mass on Good Friday, but come to the celebration, okay? Okay, we're going to say our closing prayer. April 13th? Wow. It's not on the 8th? Okay. You're all crestfallen at that bad news, huh? You're going to be jumping for joy, okay? You got a free Friday. Okay, let's say our closing prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Together. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. My conscience this day, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my... Wherefore, good Mother, keep me, guard me as your prophet.